Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, musical theater lovers of all ages.
Of all ages, including my age, which is a sprightly 112. How have you been? What's going on?
You know, parenting, living life.
You are parenting.
Just having a grand old time, actually.
He's good.
Listeners, my son is 14 months old, or he's almost 15 months, which used to mean, not, when people would use those numbers, I was always like, oh, just say over a year, just make it simple. But when you have a kid, you realize these months really do matter, and they tick along, and each week is something new. And now he's finding his voice, he's trying to say words, and he's walking everywhere and climbing, and it's just...
That's
right. He is so funny, Rob, and he's got a good sense of humor. He loves to laugh.
He obviously takes after his uncle Rob.
His mouth is always open, so it's great. So we're having a great time.
This child is so adorable. I'm curious, have you introduced him to a musical yet?
Oh, good question. Well, he loves Six. We listen to more than we would watch. If we watch any, it's going to be like a Disney musical. But he's still not, his attention span isn't there for that. He's more of like a Sesame Street kind of like minute and 30 seconds song kind of guy. And I got to tell you, I'm blown away by the children's, I could do a whole podcast episode. I probably do a favorite thing at some point on some of these kids' shows because some of the music is really incredible. Anyway,
Joe Raposo, right?
Yeah, Joe Raposo. Well, he did a lot of the Sesame Street stuff and, he was, yeah. My mom was like, back it up, Kevin. So Six is the musical. She'll be like, get back on track. It's a Thomas habit.
Give you notes on the podcast?
Oh, yes, definitely. I want to share this with everyone. And oh my gosh, everyone's going to laugh. My mom's dying right now. I got a note from our trivia. I got a note from my mother from trivia, folks. And it's a good note, I gotta tell you. And I took the note, and I'm thinking it really helps. I've also noticed that I do this during our interviews as well, Rob. Ever since we are on Zoom all the time, I've never seen my face so often. I've never seen my face. And like many other men who can, or people that can grow facial hair, I'm growing my facial hair out, and I have a beard. And so I touch my face more. And my note from my mother, my sweet, God, I love you, Mom. My note was, you're touching your face too much. Stop. I just wanted to yell at you the whole time. Stop.
Oh, wow.
Which is not yell. I'm joking. I'm making it more dramatic like a son does. But she said that when she was watching the trivia. She's like, you're constantly touching your face.
She's nervous for you.
That's a really good mother note because she would say that to me in life as well. And so I can take a note. I will tell you that. Go ahead.
My mic is cutting out. I got to get new mics. Did you explain to her that maybe that was part of your character choice?
My layers that I've added to the character that I'm playing. It's like my dinner with Andre where they're playing themselves. Like,
hey, folks, it'll be coming out in November to coincide with this book.
But my gosh.
We've had some good interviews. Yesterday, we interviewed Andre Gregory. From my dinner with Andre.
And I know that you rolled your eyes at me, and I don't care, Rob. I think that he was messing with us. I think that Andre Gregory totally pulled the old like freshman 101 acting trick on us because we got onto the Zoom call, and I know for a fact this man knows how to do Zoom because in his 2014 documentary, he's on it and he's using it, a computer. He gets on the Zoom call and we can't hear the audio. He doesn't connect to the audio, right? Everybody knows that when you get on Zoom, you have to connect, right? You can't just give your audio to somebody. You have to let them have that, your privacy taken away, whatever. And he's just standing looking at us in the thing. And Rob and I are like, hi, Andre, hi. I mean, you're not going to hear this. It was like an Abbott and Costello show. I mean, really. And you really get to know who someone really is and how they function based on how they deal with the problem. And that's why I think he did it. I really do. Because then after we sort of had it out and we figured things, we'll call you. And then all of a sudden he just leaned over and unmuted himself.
drama.
I'm telling you, I know you don't believe me. I don't care. I really do think he did it on purpose as a way to sort of
feel us out.
And I don't think he does a lot of interviews. And it was after that, it was amazing. And he was so complimentary to us afterwards, not to toot our own horn, but after the journey I went through learning about him, and you guys heard me talk about the movie and stuff, it was one of my favorite interviews, Rob, that I think we've ever had. Honestly.
That's wonderful. I'm so happy you had a good time, Kevin. He really is.
Rob had a different experience.
I did not. I had a wonderful time with Andre Gregory. First of all, I will say I am one of those rare people that really enjoys my dinner with Andre. I don't think a lot of people do. I really love the movie.
Yeah.
And I think it's incredible. I really like, and I've liked it for a very, very long time. So getting to talk to him was a very cool experience. And he does he does an amazing Wallace Shawn impression. Andre Gregory, you'll hear this in November, folks. And then, Kevin, I'm going to take a sip of my Sprite. And as I'm taking my sip of my Sprite, would you tell everyone why I'm drinking a Sprite today?
Well, we had what's the word, Rob? It was an overwhelming experience, that interview. We didn't even get to actually talk about it afterwards that much. I texted you. But we interviewed the one and only Brenda Vaccaro, ladies and gentlemen. That is correct.
Brenda.
Oh, is that not what you were talking about?
No, I was talking about Joe Mantello because we found out he did a Sprite.
I thought she was like, give me a Sprite. Oh, I thought, because remember she was like, give me a Sprite to her assistant.
Oh, that's right. So, okay. So actually, hey, Sprite should be sponsoring us and buying me a new fucking mic here because it keeps cutting.
I know. What's going on over there?
I don't know. Come on. Get it together here, Mike.
Right. No, my bad. No, the commercial that which we have to dig up. We talked to Joe Mantello just now, like an hour ago. And boy, what a chat that was.
We asked Joe, we're like, how did you keep yourself financially stable when you were an actor in the 80s? And he said, I was lucky. I did a Sprite commercial. And he said it was so good, I did two Sprite commercials.
There are two parts. So,
if anyone knows where Joe Mantello's Sprite commercial is, send it our way. Or maybe we should just ask Brenda Vaccaro because she likes a Sprite.
Exactly.
Brenda's interview was also a joy. I really loved the interview. I thought it was good. Yeah, we've had some really nice interviews, so we're excited for you to listen to those as they are coming up. And hopefully you enjoyed our episode this week with the great Ken Ludwig. Great playwright, Ken Ludwig.
Oh, wow.
Who wants to go first?
Actually, I'll go first because mine's not going to be a quick one this time. There's not a lot to say, but I love when this happens, Rob, where there's something that's been in existence, like a website or a blog or something, and I had no idea, and it's been around for so long, and I'm almost,
Playbill.com, folks.
In my embarrassment, I'm like, well, I'm just going to put it out there that I never knew this existed. I'm not a huge fan of the big websites where it's just all ads and this pop-ups. And it's like I always say what Carol Lindsay had for breakfast before her Newsies audition. I don't want to know about those kinds of things.
Ham and cheese omelet, by the way.
Right, exactly.
And there were egg whites. That's all. Thank you.
And how my world was changed with Broadway Briefing and how I love that because it's just the facts. Now it's like huge. So here's a website I want to offer everybody that if you know it, awesome, celebrate it. It also is called a blog. It's called, simply enough, onstageblog.com. Onstageblog.com. Never knew about it. I stumbled upon it because of some of their news articles. They do actual journalism. We're talking how do I describe it? They're not covering the biggest, Hugh Jackman's going to be in Music Man. No, let me just read you some of the latest posts that just are up here. Headline, stop criticizing artists who leave New York City during the pandemic. Article about that. Sorry, my son is teething next door. Next line, this is what got me here because I was doing some research on this. See our truths. Black POC students expose systematic racism with Pace University's musical theater program. Next headline, nobody cares about Danny and Sandy, the problem with the Grease prequel, because they're making that movie. Anyway, it's the thing that I love about this is that it's talking about issues that are a little more current but a little more macro, like tinier scale, and yet are still really, really important. I saw an article about a community theater, and some of the issues that they're going through. It's just a really interesting place. It's definitely, you can tell it's run by... a younger generation. And I say that like only to clarify that it's not like the traditional things that like Playbill's about and that all the other websites have. I have never encountered a website that has original articles. They do features on people in different positions. They have just a plethora of different items here, including, you know, podcasts and such, but it's all, I think, under the same umbrella of this onstage blog. And I'm very impressed by the articles that they have here, and the features that they have. They have critics that analyze stuff. I'm a huge fan. So I just encourage our listeners to go check out onstageblog.com. Just, you know, explore around and, you know, poke around and see what you can find there, because there's some really interesting articles, and I'm definitely not reading anything like this anywhere else. And I think it's important to read. I think that it's some really interesting things that aren't being talked about as much. And usually you see them like in a tweet. That's usually where I've seen some of this stuff. But it's nice to have it all in one spot. And it seems very legit and really, really solid work. So I'm impressed by it. So onstageblog.com.
And they got some interesting articles on here.
Do you know them? Have you?
I do. Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm aware of them. Yeah. One of the articles: should theaters be required to submit COVID-19 safety protocols in order to secure licensing rights? Uh-huh. I think I would agree with that.
They're just bringing up things that, like, you know, there are professional theaters all over the country that, you know, these are big issues for them. And I never had known that there are people really catering to that audience, you know, and I appreciate it. And go ahead.
And,
sorry.
No. An iron fist or an open heart, how bullying in arts education is turning a generation of young artists off to the arts. And I think that's so interesting because, you know, we just interviewed a couple of days ago. James Naughton. And he was saying, he goes, training programs do a really great job at tearing you down, but they never build you back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. I'm wondering if there's an alternative way of doing this. Right.
Yeah.
Blog it is.
I think it's just a different place to get some information that you might not have anywhere else, and I think it's pretty cool. So check it out.
Check it out, folks. And then after you check that out, you can check out what I'm going to recommend, and I hope you do.
Oh boy!
It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
I know. I can't wait.
So I just got HBO Max, which I had not had previously. And I was going on there and I saw a documentary on there that I had seen when it first came out and I fell madly in love with. And I think we've talked about it on the show before, but I don't think it's ever been a favorite thing. I checked, it didn't come up. And it's on HBO Max for everybody to take a look. And it's a wonderful documentary called Casting By. It came out in 2012, and it's a documentary film directed by the great Tom Donahue. And what it does is it celebrates a woman primarily named Marion Doherty, who is a Penn State grad. Thank you so much. We are Penn State. And Marion Doherty was one of the first and one of the most prolific casting directors working in television and movies. And the role of the casting director is such an interesting job that does not get the credit it deserves. For example, there is no Academy Award for Best Casting Director. There are the Emmys acknowledge casting directors, the Tonys don't, but the Oscars really don't. The Oscars are allergic to it. And so what this documentary is, it's not only focusing on who Marion Doherty was and how, and also a gentleman by the name of Lynn Stallmaster, who's also an incredible casting director in the 50s and 60s, 70s, 80s. They have discovered some of the most fascinating actors that are working today. But the whole movie is really about how, if it wasn't for these casting directors discovering new talent and advocating for new talent, that they might not have ever been seen by directors to begin with. And the fact that the role of a casting director is a position that really needs to be celebrated, and Academy Awards, why don't you give out an Oscar for best casting of a film? In the movie, there is a director who's, please forgive me because his name is escaping me right now. I think it's Taylor Hackford, actually. Yeah, it's Taylor Hackford, who's a director who's like, he goes, no, casting directors don't do anything. He goes, you could still do a movie. You don't need a casting director for it. And he's advocating against celebrating casting directors for what they do and what they contribute. So I would encourage you all to take a look at this wonderful movie. It's on HBO Max. It's called Casting By. And more importantly, I think it's a really great celebration of a woman in the arts who does not get the credit that she deserves. And that is the great Marion Daugherty. Now, Lynn Stallmaster, who is
Trudy Rittman.
Lynn Stallmaster, he survived longer than Marion Daugherty did. Lynn is still alive, I believe. And he received an honorary Academy Award. But it's really Marion Daugherty's work who really revolutionized the world of casting directing. And she never really got appreciation for it. I think she died a year before the movie came out. So I don't even know if she actually got to see the final cut of the film. But it's a really fascinating film. And I think it's a really good time to appreciate those in the arts who don't get the credit that they deserve. And so please go ahead, go on to HBO Max, take a look at Casting By. The reason I'm mentioning it is I know we're a theater podcast, but there's a lot of Marion, I believe, was based in New York. And so she was at the theater every night. And a lot of people who had great careers in the 60s and 70s, people like Dustin Hoffman and Al Pacino and Bette Midler, they were Sybil Shepherd, they were all coming from people like Lynn and Marion who were advocating for them in the New York theater scene. So it's really fascinating. And if you go onto IMDb and look at both of their credits, they've worked on just about every single major piece of cinema in the past 40 or 50 years. So I would like you all to go over and watch Casting By, great documentary directed by Tom Donahue.
That's great. Thank you for that. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Did you ever think about being a casting director instead of
director?
Like,
yes.
I thought so.
Yeah, I did. I actually did do casting for a little bit in Los Angeles.
I think so.
And it just wasn't...
You're just so good at it. I mean,
It just wasn't where I felt fulfilled. I could do it. And I have some of my closest friends are casting directors.
Right.
Mark, did you ever have Mark Simon?
Oh, I always associate him with you. I mean, I've never met him, but I know of his work. Definitely, he was Jason Robert Brown's guy for a long time.
Yeah, and Hal Prince's guy for a really long time. And then he moved out to LA. Mark was in my wedding party. Really, really awesome guy. And watching him and he said something about casting. And I was like, that's actually kind of true. I said, is this... do you enjoy this? And he says, think about it. He goes, every day I get to tell someone they have a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he's like, he goes, that's really something special.
That's a positive,
special.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
something yeah, very special. I thought about it, but just not my
not
thing.
Not your cup of tea.
You know, because think about this. You know, think about something like, we need somebody who can like play the clarinet and also has no problem being with snakes. And they have to be 60. they have to be 60 and over, and they need the ability to drive a tractor.
Yeah, you're like,
and they go, and there's like 10 people they can think of off the top of their heads, like that mind. I do not have that mind.
Mm.
I would be like, can't you call Patti LuPone and ask if she can play with a snake?
What's she doing?
You know, like, but the fact that they know, so it's just to me, I do not have that mind. And I wish I did, but luckily people like Marion Daugherty did and Lynn Stallmaster did. So
that's right.
Please take a look at Casting By, great film, HBO Max.
And check out the website onstageblog.com.
All right. Till next time.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheatre.org. That's theater with an RERISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.